I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's happening? Tiki and Tierney coming here from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can around the country. Not a surprise, but we did get the news about 5 minutes ago that the Big Ten's postponing the fall football season. Apparently, Teak, a lot of division within the conference palpable. We've got some great sound, which we'll play, even though it's from yesterday and last night. It still pertains to possible options, or at least the pursuit of options by some, maybe within the conference. Probably means the Pac-12 is going to follow suit any second, as the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC continue holding on to that frayed rope, at least for now. So this very well might be NFL Saturdays and Sundays. Not a great day, but not an unexpected day. This is something you and I saw coming.
No, we definitely saw it coming, BT. And the reason that you could see it coming is because we're talking about kids. We're talking about 18 to 22-year-old young men who don't have anyone representing them as it pertains to their health and safety. There's so many question marks. You got different medical experts in the Big Ten than you have in the SEC or the ACC or the Big 12. The ACC medical experts I saw just, 5 minutes ago also said it's safe to play college football, whereas you have the Big Ten medical expert talking about myocarditis, which is an enlarged heart that could be a result of contracting the coronavirus. So different people have different perspectives. They have different interpretations. And as a result, you're going to have different decisions based on the season. Obviously, this comes from the college presidents. This doesn't come from the athletic directors or the coaches. This comes from the college presidents, who aren't often as dived in to playing college sports as their coaches and athletic directors probably are as well.
For sure. You know, science aside for a moment, one of the things, Teak was off yesterday. By the way, did you have a good day?
I did. Good. We were down at Princeton with the kids and walking around AJ's future school. And obviously we were at the beach. We were at the beach for, 3 or 4 days. But then we went to Princeton yesterday to take some pictures and just explore a little bit. It was nice.
Nice. Did you get to see? Can you see the coach, or is that not allowed at this point?
No, not right now. And because, one, it's the off season. Yep. And they're done until the spring.
That's true.
Potentially. So I don't even know if the players or the coaching staff is actually around.
Okay.
It was really quiet. It was more like a tourist destination yesterday because people taking pictures and stuff as we were but I just wanted to see it. And so we hung around, bought some gear, hat, shirt, shorts, stuff like that.
You better.
And then we went home. So
Very cool.
it was a good day. It was a real good day.
Well, good. Happy you guys got to do that for a little bit. But one of the things that I said yesterday, again, pushing science aside for a moment, just the aesthetics of a college football season. Not that this is the driving force, it's not. But to me, it was pretty meaningful. Like, we all watch the NBA bubble. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Big win for the Lakers. We'll get to that. Kuzma with a huge shot. They beat the Nuggets, get ready for the playoffs, and the bubble's doing great. Baseball, I know there's been some issues, but I've been able to sit down and watch baseball every night, largely unaffected. I watch the pitcher, I watch the exchange, I see where the ball goes, I enjoy my baseball. Golf was great, Harding Park, no spectators, still a great major. The thing about college football, the NFL's all about the sport. College football it's about the game, but it's also about the pageantry, the raucous student sections, the band. And to just play in this antiseptic environment, I can never wrap my mind or my heart around that.
Yeah.
So again, science, primarily driven by science, sure. But the secondary aspect, it would have been really tough to – we would have watched the games. It's our job. Maybe there's other games to watch, but – it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, no, it would feel, you said antiseptic, but it would feel too tame, right? So we don't have dogs in the fight. Like, I have a dog in the fight watching the University of Virginia play football. It's like, yeah, great. I'm going to watch that regardless. If there was six people in the stands, I would watch the University of Virginia play because it's my alma mater, right? But watching, let's say USC or whoever it may be, other than for my job, the reason you watch those like big Power Five, especially when the rivalries or important games in a season, is because you just feel this energy. Even if you're not there, you feel it coming through the television. And especially if you're there, you didn't even mention the tailgating, BT. That's like half of it, right? For sure, a lot of these, especially the students. And without any
game
of
day,
that,
college game day, day.
Right? The lead up, the hype. You know, all the trash talk and the speculation and the picks and whatever it may be. Without all of that, it would feel very tame, almost too tame to get excited about.
Yep.
Unless you had a dog in the fight, unless it was your alma mater. And so your fandom has changed because of what we're watching. It's why the NBA, even though it's corny with those boards, it's kind of cool.
That's fine.
It gives you. Like a sense that somebody's actually there paying attention, watching it on their home computer, and their face is broadcast, and they're picking their nose or doing whatever they're doing. But
the kiss
like
cam.
Yeah, exactly. There's an interactivity to it. I think the sterileness of it in college football would have been strange, doubly strange compared to what we've already seen in some of these other empty stadiums.
Yeah, listen, when Kuzma hit that shot, you know, granted, there weren't 19,000 Laker fans at Staples Center going bonkers, but it felt big to the point. Like, it just, they've created this element of theatrics that matches, and it's cool. And, you know, listen, I watch college football, I was going to say three or four reasons. Number one, who's going to win the national champ? Well, obviously it's our job, but aside from the job, who's going to win the championship? But there's going to be no championship.
No doubt.
To gauge the draft, but a lot of the top players aren't going to play, and that's going to only get worse if they're spring football, number two.
I've heard this all day. Would Joe Burrow be number one if he didn't play last year?
That's a great point. That's fair. And the answer is no. Absolutely. He was a projected sixth-round pick when it started.
He would have got drafted, but he would have been number one overall, that's for sure.
No doubt. Who's going to win the championship? You know, I want to see who's getting drafted where. I want to enjoy the pageantry, the Red River rivalry, Oregon State, you know, Army, Navy. God, I hope they find a way to play that.
Yeah, me too.
Of all the games, that's the one game that needs to be played. Oh, you know, Stanford, Cal, the band is on the field. Like, Michigan, Ohio State, this is what we want. And then, of course, you know, on a secondary level, just selfishly, I throw a little coin behind some of these teams and I extract some joy betting. You know, I've always talked about that. So, how do you bet when there's nobody in the building because there's home field that's offset? You're not playing for championship. You're not playing for divisional titles. Who knows who's getting drafted? You know, we'll see what the other conferences do. But, again, they're holding on to a rope that is rapidly fraying and eventually, I believe, is going to snap.
Yeah, I mean, but I think you're right, but look, there's monetary considerations, and we'll talk about that. I mean, I heard the number of $4 billion or something, which is, you know, roughly, you know, whatever it is per team. There's 65 teams in the Power Five. So it's a lot of money even per team. It sounds like a lot per, you know, the five Power Five conferences. But even if you divide it by 65, it's still a lot of money per team, per school. I think it's like $66 or $65 million or something that they're losing if they don't play. So the monetary side of it is one thing. Then there's obviously the student-athlete side, which is probably the most important one because the student-athletes want to play. And when you listen to, you know, Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney talk about, you know, why they believe that the players should be on campus and should be in their, not a bubble, but be in their, you know, protection as opposed to going home and doing whatever, it makes sense. And so there's solutions that I think coaches feel confident about, but coaches aren't medical experts.
Nope.
And the problem with medical experts is that they're varied. Nobody knows. We can't get consensus. And at the end of the day, BT, this is my this is why I really have a gripe with the NCAA. They push it off to the individual conferences to make decisions. It's not us. I'm just the president or the head of the association. It's not my business to make a decision for you, XYZ conference. It's not my job to make a decision for you, XYZ University. But the problem then becomes you get a cluster. You get everybody doing different things and saying different things. And the player, the student athlete, gets lost in the middle of it, who has nobody representing them. They don't have a union. You heard them call for it yesterday because they want protections, not only from, you know, the coronavirus and safety protocols, but what the hell is happening with my life if we play or don't play next year? It's a lot that's not being discussed, and the season is a month away.
I don't even think spring football is as viable as people make it seem to be, and not just because many of the stars won't participate, but I mean, you know, who knows when we get a vaccine, all right? Yeah. So let's just say...
And I don't want this Russian one that they're pushing through in 2 months.
You don't
months.
Want the Russian one, and I don't want to personally rush into one.
That's right.
I prefer to let some other people get it, with all due respect, before I start sticking that in my veins. I want to make sure it's okay, certainly before I put it in my kid's body. So you look at the just the timing logistics of it. Let's say that even if it's miraculously drops and it's done by January 1st, right? But now you've got to siphon this out, and you know how I don't know. I don't even know if spring football is fully plausible. But we went from the Big Ten teak. We went from last week the schedule's dropping to Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day on a coach's conference call going tit for tat, right? They were going back and forth with each other, to now the plug is pulled on the season. And I want to play a couple of – we have some really pertinent sound here. First up, Ryan Day. This was yesterday before it was official, which it obviously is now. If you're just tuning in, the Big Ten has canceled their season. They'll investigate the options of spring. But Ryan Day on exploring playing outside of the conference. Here he is.
We need to look at every option. And if that's the only option at the time, we need to explore it. See if that's something that we can possibly do. Because if it is, and that's what's best for our kids, then certainly we need to look at that and do it.
I'm all for thorough exploration here, but does that seem like that could even happen?
I mean, yes and no. Yes, because the money that I was just talking about, the $65 million and TV rights and revenue that comes, obviously the gate and everything else that comes from playing football. But then, you know, you risk losing the stars of your team because they're going to opt out for two reasons. One, because they're headed towards the NFL, and the NFL will abut right to the end of their season, the draft, so they'll miss all the combines and they'll miss everything else that's truly an evaluation of you as a like an athlete and as a person. Mm. You're going to miss all of that because you'll be playing your season. And I think number two, the other reason, this one might be more important, BT, how in the world are you playing two college football seasons in one calendar year? Right. We talked about this earlier when the Ivy League, you know, speculated about moving to the spring and how it now will back up right into the start of spring football. So you finish your regular season from 2020, and then all of a sudden you're in spring football of 2021. You know, 2 months later, this physically, it's demanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, it becomes like an NFL schedule with a break, with a big break. Like you play 8 to 10 games if you do conference only, and then you get, you know, 2 month break, and then you go play, you know, regular 10 games again. It's like going to the playoffs in the NFL, but that's not what they're bargaining for. And I don't know if their bodies are ready for it. So there's a lot of issues. They can't. I mean, they can do it.
They're not ready for that.
But they can't. They're not ready for it. You're exactly right, BT. They're not ready for it.
They're not. So there's been a lot of emotion and a lot of bluster and, you know, a lot of non-pragmatic theories behind the return to football, all right? Yeah. And I understand that. It's monetarily driven. It's, you know, doing what's right for the kids in terms of playing the sport. But a lot of that is somewhat misguided because it's driven by the wrong thing, which is money, all right? But Ryan Day said something. This I want to play because this is what Trevor Lawrence was tweeting about. I know Nick Saban has jumped into this. And Ryan Day said this yesterday as well, that the ability to stay on campus and play is a whole lot safer than the alternative. Listen to this.
They really want a chance to play. They want to have a voice. They want to choose. And that's all the information they've been giving me. So I think it's my job as the head coach to advocate for them. And they just want to keep fighting every day. They want to be together. And they've all shared. They feel like and this is coming from them. They're safer here in our facility playing football than they would be without it. I'm not the only one to say that.
Yeah, and that's tough to dispute there, T, because if you go to whatever town you're from and you leave campus and you're studying online to stay eligible, you know, first of all, you're not getting tested every day. You're getting tested every day at Ohio State if you want it. And even though it's not a full impenetrable bubble, it's pretty damn close. I think Ryan Day is right what he said.
Well,
there. I agree with.
There's also, you don't know what the healthcare situation is like when these kids go home. I mean, maybe they have access to great care should they contract the coronavirus, but you know at Ohio State or Clemson or Alabama or any other of these major Power Five schools, if they should get sick, then they will be taken care of. The thing that makes this really complicated, BT, is we're talking primarily about football, but in the Big Ten statement, they're talking fall sports. They're not. Yes, football is included, and football has a unique position in college sports. One, because of the money, but also because of the utterly enormous economic opportunity for some of these student athletes should they thrive on the football field and get drafted into the National Football League. We've talked about this many times, BT. Once you get into the league and you stay for a couple of years, you've risen your floor economically, socially, whatever other, you know, league you want to use significantly, right? You're just on a different platform once you make it to the National Football League. And a lot of these kids got promised this when Ryan Day or Nick Saban or whoever the recruiting coordinator was sitting in their living rooms, we're going to give you an opportunity to get a great education and then ultimately potentially play professional football and make more money than probably some of your parents have made in a decade or maybe even two decades. And so we look at this in that prism. The reality is there is field hockey and cross country and women's and men's soccer. There's volleyball. There's all of these other sports that have very different calculuses than football does. And so when you're the president, forget the athletic director, forget the head coach of Ohio State Buckeyes football program or the Alabama Crimson Tide, but when you're the president and responsible for the well-being of the 99% that have no chance and no desire to go play professionally, that's what you have to look at. And that's what they are looking at, and that's what the decision is made on. It's almost, in some ways, like football is a consequence of the larger important part of the student athlete body, I should say.
There's no doubt there's a lot to sift through here. And anytime you have something this big, this magnitude in anything, you want the titans of the game to weigh in. And here's a guy who they should already start chiseling out Mount Rushmore in the football sense for this coach. He weighed in. It's Nick Saban. What did the coach of Alabama have to say about all this? We'll get to that coming up next right here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Just go to geico.com to learn a little bit more. Teague and I get to inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment on the menu. A little something on Alvin Kamara and his long-term future. Lakers, Kuz with the cash from the corner. Also, the Marlins and the Cardinals with the baseball, and kind of seems like an odd day to do it. But we'll debate, are the Florida Gators still a top 10 in terms of profile college football program? So that's coming up next. Hopefully everybody's having a good Tuesday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. You know, Tink, we can quantify so many of the things that we have over the months here and certainly over the last few days pertaining to what seems to be the inevitable. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that you can't quantify, and you have to think that this is driving the decision, is, you know, is the long-term risks that, you know, eventually could surface.
Yeah.
And schools are trying to protect themselves.
Yeah. Look, they don't want to risk the health of their student athletes. And obviously we're talking football players, but again, I'll reiterate and I'll keep doing this. This is all student athletes, but they don't want to risk the long-term health if they don't actually know what to expect.
Oh, I mean more so from a liability point of view.
I agree. But also, I mean, there is a liability. We know that this is the case. And we've seen the waivers that were put out that they were supposed to sign, basically saying this isn't legally binding, but you're agreeing, at least this is how it was positioned after it was scrutinized, you are agreeing to follow the protocols that we set forth. Wash your hands, wear a mask, don't be irresponsible. But it could be viewed as a liability waiver in preventing, you know, the school or the program from getting sued should a kid get sick and, you know, something dire happen. And that's just, I mean, I saw Amy Trask posted about this earlier. Danny Cannell, our buddy, was asking, you know, can't football players just sign this liability waiver and go play if they want to? But because players, and again, I love this like point because it's the most important point. Mm-hmm. Players aren't represented. You can't ask a 17 or 18 or 19-year-old kid to sign something and be included in a group that they're not represented for. And so it's almost like the person with power, whoever's asking to sign, I'm going to say it's the head coach or the athletic director, telling someone, you sign this or else you're not going to be eligible to play. The kid has no choice but to sign it.
Yeah.
And there's no one to advise him on it. That's just it's unfair and it's actually gross.
That's not coming from the head coach. You know that.
Yeah, of course. But it's disgusting when you mm-hmm. think about it. You ask a young kid who wants to play sport and knows that there's a great economic potential that comes from him playing the sport to sign a waiver to play or else. I mean, it's immoral. So, I mean, yes, I hear what you're saying. There is a liability factor here, and that has to weigh in on some presidents' minds for sure.
And we're thinking about this as grown men.
Yes.
Think about your mindset, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20.
You don't care.
You don't care because you don't think anything's going to happen to you.
Nope.
So what do I have to say? You know, you might not even read it. Okay, this means I can play? Here you go. Can I go back to practice now, coach?
You're right.
Like, that's really what that probably would have been very close to my mindset.
BT, think about this. About this is literally and figuratively. As you grow, think about how much scarier you get about what can hurt you. So when you're 3 years old, Kinsley, who's three, she's this close to the ground, right?
Yeah.
Like, she runs and falls and trips. She's not falling that far. She doesn't hurt her. Gets up. She's like, oh, okay, I'm good. I'm ready. Let's go again.
I'm envious.
Right? I am too, right? But when you're, you know, 6'1", and you run and you fall and you trip and you hit the ground, it's a long fall. It hurts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then as you get older, you start to be more aware of what is dangerous and what danger means to you. When
it's
you're 20 years old, you don't care. I'm invincible. I can go. You know this because you wrecked in a car, BT.
I did.
You know, going 100 miles an hour.
108.
108. I'm fine. We're good, man. We're fantastic. And all of a sudden, you gain perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last thing you want to do as a like a college kid is gain perspective on something that could damage you for decades or maybe even the rest of your life because you contracted the coronavirus. That's what we're talking about here, and I don't think a lot of young kids look at it that way.
It's a great point to underscore. I want to read you something from Nick Saban. Here's what Nick said. Quote, we test anybody that has symptoms and have an open testing site where they can go and get tested as many times as they want or anytime they feel the need to, Saban said. But our guys aren't going to catch the virus on the field. Mm-hmm. They're going to catch it on campus. The argument then should probably be we shouldn't be having school. That's the argument. No. Why is it we shouldn't be playing football? Why has that become the argument? Well, you know what? It's actually a pretty interesting way of looking at it. But, coach, in the grand scheme of things, even if we really don't want to do this, you have to at least pretend that school is more important than football.
Yeah, of course. Hey, forget school. They're going to catch it. They're going to catch it going to school.
Yeah.
So the reason that they're actually there, let's remove that.
Yes.
And let's just play football. All right, coach, how much money am I making as your starting quarterback? Right? Because basically what you're saying is let's create a professional environment where all they're going to do is hang around the university football program because they're safe in the soup football program, but they're potentially exposed if they go to school. So let's forget school, hang around and play football. We'll have a professional environment here. We'll keep them safe and everything will be hunky-dory. We'll play football games and make millions of dollars and billions of dollars and win the championship because there's only going to be two conferences that are playing. One Power Five and one Group of Five. Yeah, coach, that sounds excellent. It sounds insensitive and,
great plan, Nick.
I know. Come on.
But this is the same guy who said he didn't know that there was an election
yeah,
that
right.
day.
In November.
In November, a couple of years back. I think that
he's in a good place, but his thinking is skewed.
But yeah, he's thinking, you know, his prism is a narrow one. He wants to coach, and I get it. He wants to coach, and he wants to, you know, he wants to have those bike shorts and that big hat, the big Gilligan's Island hat and the whistle.
Yeah.
And he wants to do his thing. He doesn't want to be sidetracked by this nuisance of a virus. And I put quotes around that, obviously. You know, the thing, too, is think about the major leagues right now. We've had, obviously, issues. The Marlins, and there's been several
Cardinals.
Yep, the Cardinals, for sure. But now the Indians, Plesac and Clevinger. And we're going to get to this in inbounds out, or we're going to get this a little bit later. I think it's an inbounds out of bounds. Yeah, it is. And the inability for professionals who are older than these young men on campus to even do the right thing, because they're not adhering to the protocols and the demands of Major League Baseball, even with the newly implemented threats. Hey, listen, you do this, we're going to do this. And you still have guys like Plesac and Clevinger going out, and in Clevinger's case, basically lying and then getting on the team plane, risking infection to everybody. So
because you think you're fine.
You think you're fine. I know you definitely do. But to think that, yes, at the center core of Nick's point and Trevor Lawrence's point, they're right. It is safer to be, you know, in the bubble of the football department because you get testing and all the things that we discussed here. But are we supposed to expect that the first time there's a sorority party or the first time your girlfriend wants to go to a movie or go to dinner, you're not going to go?
Yeah.
Of course
you're
going to go.
No, we're going to stay home, Mom.
You're going to go.
We're going to hang out here. We're good.
And even if you do hang out in your dorm or your apartment with her, right, what is she doing while you're at practice?
Yeah.
Well, is she with a few girls who was with somebody? I don't mean, you know, in that, I don't mean that, but just exposed, God forbid, to somebody within reasonable proximity of the virus?
Yeah.
And then she unknowingly gives it to you, and then you give it to your teammates? I mean,
yeah.
Look, so there's no right answer.
I can hear coaches talk about, oh, we got our circle of trust. You got to trust this guy next to you, and you got to trust the guy across from you. We got to trust everybody. But when you do that, and this is the conversation we had about Major League Baseball when they had their early issues, BT, because they're not in a bubble, and they go home and they do whatever they're going to do, as you were just alluding to with the Cleveland Indians. It's not just trusting those guys, like the team. It's the team's extended family and their extended circle. You got to trust all of them as well.
Correct.
And the more you extend out, the wider it becomes exponential. Right. The word exponential means it compounds significantly. It compounds significantly once you leave the trusted circle of the guys on the team, because there's so many interactions that their family has and then their family's family have and then their friends of the family. It just becomes it becomes difficult to track.
Well, you think about the football being the ultimate team sport, where especially on the offensive line, where there's got to be great synergy and familiarity and discipline and five guys gelling, right? Five guys gelling and five guys going in the right direction. I can't open a hole for Tiki, or maybe I can open a hole, but Tiki can't run for $170 if we're not in sync and we're not working in unison, okay? So you could do all the things, hit the weight room, diligent in study, prep the right way, and put out the best game plan, and that concept actually comes to fruition. That's where teamwork works. Where it doesn't work is what Tiki's talking about. Those five guys can still do the right thing pertaining to football, but one relative unknowingly or unwittingly do the wrong thing, and then it completely sabotages the whole season.
That's right.
So, you know, we're not surprised.
Yeah, we're not saying that these kids are going to get sick and, you know, die.
No.
But we all know what the threat is of contracting the coronavirus and spreading it significantly within a group. And you never know, once you spread it, what that does to someone else or someone else's family or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or what the long-term health effects are, which is what the Big Ten ultimately leaned on in their cancellation or postponement, I should say, of their 2020 season.
It is pretty frightening how different medical advisors for different conferences have such radically different views.
Right.
That's scary.
It is. Ugh. It is.
All right, Teak, good job. Coming up next, Inbounds, Out of Bounds, and Alvin Kamara will debate his future. We'll get to that. Bob Huesler's update is first. Big Bob coming at you right now. Here he is. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up in a sec. First up, though, time for the Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done. He's back, and he's getting it done. Juan Soto in his four games played so far this season. The Nats' young stud outfielder hitting a robust 467. Two bombs. One came last night against the Mets. It went like 470 feet, dead center, up the black. It was a moonshot. Three more hits total last night. And they beat the Mets 16-4. So remember the start of the season, of course, delayed for Soto with a positive coronavirus test. But he is absolutely raking. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. We've got Andre Iguodala of the Miami Heat. He'll join us coming up next. Champion, of course, with the Warriors, and terrific player around the NBA. Two-way player, class act. We'll get with him and his thoughts on the bubble. Now, the Soto home run, too. I don't know if you saw it last night, Teak, but I actually thought he was fooled on the pitch. It was curveball that he took, again, almost 470 feet.
Wow.
And it almost looked like he committed, and then he sumped like he was, I don't say he was, it was very subtle. You had to really look for it. Like where he came out in front just a little bit, and then he was able to like bring his hands back and still regather and just jack it. He is such a star player, man. He is so good.
Yeah, just think how strong and in control of your muscles you have to be able to do something like that. That's like taking a golf swing, starting it down, stopping and going back and
a little bit,
getting back in the right plane to hit it right.
Maybe I'll play better. Maybe I'll start doing that, actually.
No, you'll turn into Charles Barkley. Do not do that.
The stanky leg. You ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Start a little football here, Tiki. Alvin Kamara burst on the scene for the Saints, amassing over 1,300 all-purpose yards in each of his first three seasons. Mm-hmm. However, the former Vols star has yet to go over 1,000 yards, hasn't surpassed that yet. Or 200 carries in a season, and he fell short of expectations last year despite the fact that the former bell cow, Mark Ingram, bolted for the Ravens. Now, yesterday, Kamara explained his down season.
My main focus this offseason was getting back healthy. You know, I had a rocky year last year dealing with injuries. So I injured myself early. I mean, Jacksonville week, I tore my knee basically, and I mean, that was something I was dealing with the whole season. Had to miss some time, which I don't like to do. I tried to put my best product out on the field. And, you know, sometimes it was enough, sometimes it wasn't. At times there were situations where, in my head, I'm like, I shouldn't be out here. But, you know, I'm healthy now, so I'm happy to be in this space now.
All right, pretty honest stuff there from Kamara. So here's the question, Teak. Inbounds, out of bounds. Alvin Kamara can be a bell cow every down back in the NFL.
I'm going to say, yeah, BT, he can be. The problem is inbounds. So this is inbounds for me. He's 5'10", 5'11", 215 pounds. He's a little bit taller than I was, but I was a bell cow in the National Football League, so I know that he can do it. The problem is he won't do it with the New Orleans Saints because that's not Sean Payton's way of doing it. Yes, Mark Ingram was there, but then Latavius Murray came and took on some of those carries. It's just Sean doesn't want one, not that he doesn't want one guy, but he's so conscious about having specific players doing specific things that he's not going to get those opportunities, you know, to get 300 so carries, not that he even wants them. Interestingly, he's had 81 receptions every season. His first 3 years, even though he missed, you know, three or four games last year, he's got 81 receptions, like 81, 81, 81.
That's uncanny.
It is uncanny. But, yeah, he can be. I don't think he will be with the Saints.
I agree. I'm going to say inbounds here. You know, again, a bell cow in 2020 is a lot different than, you know, even when you were playing, but certainly in the 80s and in the early 90s, you know, it's just different. So, you know, can he be an every down back? Of course he can. You catch the football. How is he a blocker? As a blocker, he's a
fixer. Yeah, he's
effective.
Pretty good. He's willing.
Okay.
Yeah, he's strong. He's got a, you know, a burst up into the defender. Yeah, he's definitely a more willing blocker.
Okay. So specific to the Saints and how they play, I hear you. But specific to a 2020 version of a feature back, yeah, I believe that he can be, and I believe that he will be in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Lakers back on the winning track. Big win. This has to change, and there's some dissenting voices out there, and I've been one of them. It's got to at least give you a little something to pause here. You know I love the Nuggets here, and Kyle Kuzma drilled a big one over big man, big bowl, big bowl bowl. Not big bowl. Well, yeah, he is big. Bowl bowl. 7'2", big bowl bowl. And it was a great play, too. It was like a little give and go, LeBron to Davis into the corner, like a little shovel pass, boom. It was well designed. And he gave a pretty unique answer when asked about the shot.
At any point in time when you see a guy like Bol Bol right in front of you, is there any doubt at what point did you know that that ball was going up from beyond the arc where you were at when you got it?
I think Jesus could be in front of me and I'll probably still shoot. So I mean, it don't really matter to me. You know, coach had faith in me and just called my number and I paid off.
Okay, so Kuzma's seen minutes, points per game, field goal percentage, and his PER all dropped this year despite putting up 19 a game last season. So here it is. In or out, Kuzma can still be a legit number three to LeBron and AD. That was a sweet play. That was very well run.
But he's not a great three-point shooter. He shoots 32%, BT. Mm-hmm. He takes five a game. You know, I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he can be a piece of a puzzle that they win. It helps them win.
Yep.
But legit number three, that means you eventually you were going to be number two. I don't see that yet. He's 24 years old. I think we know what he is. He's a good player. I don't think he's ever going to be elite. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I didn't give it nearly the amount of time that you did. Out of bounds here. That doesn't mean he can't be an effective player, but
yep.
The way it's written, can he still be a legit number three to LeBron? That means it better happen now because yep. LeBron's 36 years old and LeBron's not going to be a LeBron for many more years here. And that ascension needs to happen immediately, and he's not ready for that. So the answer is no. Now, sporadically, can he have some big nights? No question. Can he make some big shots? Sure.
Yep.
I like the fact that he's, you know, he's got the gumption to take him and the confidence after it. Who's defending me? Jesus, it's all good. Let it go.
Yeah,
it's all good.
That's going the other way. I'm probably out the door and, 5 miles down the road. But Jesus. Just
yeah, like... I know. But I prefer that attitude. I might be a little bit of pseudo-confidence, to be honest with you. But I'm going to say out of bounds. He's just not that type of player, and I don't think he ever will be.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, baseball. Marlins, Cardinals looking to make up games due to their COVID outbreaks. Now, the Indians, we talked about this before, hoping to avoid a big stoppage after pitcher Zach Plesac, Dan's nephew, by the way, from MLB Network, and Mike Clevinger reportedly went out in Chicago. They went out together. They broke the team safety protocols. Now the Indians have sent both players home from the road trip. Both will have to quarantine for 72 hours and be tested daily before they can return. So here's the question. Players who break protocol should receive a multi-game suspension even if they test negative for the virus. In
or out. I'm going to say inbounds at this, BT, because it's the principle of the whole thing. Like, there's a rule in place. This is conduct detrimental. I forget what coach said this. It was a football coach. Mike Tomlin. When talking about, you know, his players breaking protocol and going to do things during training camp because they're going to be there for a month without playing games, he's going to consider it conduct detrimental, which means a fine and a suspension. So Major League Baseball should do the same thing just to set an example. Because, yeah, Plesac and Clevinger may come back without having contracted the coronavirus or spreading it to their team, but that doesn't mean that they didn't risk doing that. So, yeah, I'm going to say inbounds.
I totally agree. The answer is inbounds here. It's meant to dissuade players. The threat of the multi-game suspension, you would hope, would serve as a real obvious threat and deterrent to others who are thinking about being so stupid.
Yep.
Or so reckless, probably a better way to put it. So, inbounds, you know, the result of the test is almost inconsequential. I mean, it is, but it's not specific to the suspension. It's not of consequence. Specific to the health of the team, it's very much inconsequential. But yeah, this is easy. Bang them out for a ton of games, and other players will see this, and hopefully they'll stop doing it.
Yep.
Are you in or are you out?
The Gators, 3 national titles in school history, but they haven't finished at the top since 08, and they've yet to make the college football playoff. However, after 3 straight years of top 10 recruiting classes and back-to-back double-digit win seasons, head coach Danny Mullen, remember they just landed 5-star corner recruit Jason Marshall to this year's already stellar class, they're trending in the right direction for sure. In or out, the Gators are still a top 10 college football program. Curious how you answer this one.
I'm actually going to say inbounds, BT. I think they made the right decision because McElwain was there for, what, 3 years, I think he was. And then Dan Mullen came in, and almost immediately they turned the corner. So they went from, you know, sub 500 to just barely above 500 to a 10-3, then 11-2 last season. They're like a player or two, particularly a big time quarterback, away from being like really, really good. The players are still there. They just haven't had great quarterback play. So I'm going to say inbounds to this, BT. I view their struggle to get over the hump, so to speak, similar to Michigan. In a way. So I'm going to say inbounds. I do think they're still there.
I'm going to say out of bounds. Yes, they're definitely going in the right direction. And if they do it again this year, who knows what this year is going to bring. But I'm sorry, you know, in the 2010s, they've had multiple four-loss seasons, an eight-loss season, a five-loss season, a six-loss season. Come on. I mean, there's just too many quality teams out there that have been winning for a long time. I'm just going to throw names at you. Clemson, the Buckeyes, Bama, Georgia, LSU, that's five. The Sooners, six. Penn State's been on an upswing. That's seven. Notre Dame, it's getting close. I'm not saying that they're like 30, but they're more like in that 12-13 realm to me. I want to see where A&M goes this year. I want to see where Wisconsin goes this year and Oregon. It's close, but I say barely out of the top. They've had too many very heavy, a lot of lost seasons, if you will.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Well, BT, you know Wisconsin's going nowhere because the Big Ten is not playing. And now we know Oregon is also going nowhere because, according to Brett McMurphy, Pac-12 has canceled fall football season, the source told Stadium Media. We are done. This is a quote. We are done, officials said.
The announcement
expected to come in about 30 minutes or so Eastern time.
No surprise.
Yeah.
So now, again, you've got three conferences, three of the Power Five, just hanging on. Just hanging on to that rope, and their hands, their knuckles are getting white, and they're starting to get, you know, white on the outside, red on the inside as that rope just drags, and they're hanging on, and they're pulling, and it's starting to fray.
Yep.
Eventually, the rope's going to snap. We'll see if anybody's holding and what it does. But no surprise. Saw that coming a mile away. Once the Big Ten did it, you knew the Pac-12 was doing it. That was a done deal. Andre Iguodala, the champion. He's on the Heat. Jimmy Butler's teammate. We're going to talk to him coming up next. Join me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.